Chapter 3. The Dead Hand. Belrios interrupted his annoyed stridings to look up hopefully when his aide entered. "Any word of the starlet?" "None. The scouting party has quartered space, but the instruments have detected nothing. Commander Hume has reported that the fleet is ready for an immediate attack in retaliation." The general shook his head. "No, not for a patrol ship. Not yet. Tell him to double... Wait, I'll write out the message. Have it coded and transmitted by tight beam." He wrote as he talked and thrust the paper at the waiting officer. "Has the Swenian arrived yet?"
"Not yet."
"Well, see to it that he is brought in here as soon as he does arrive." The aide saluted crisply and left. Rios resumed his caged stride. When the door opened a second time, it was Duke Umbar that stood on the threshold. Slowly, in the footsteps of the ushering aide, he stepped into the garish room whose ceiling was an ornamented holographic model of the galaxy, and in the center of which Belrios stood in field uniform. "Patrician, good day." The general pushed forward a chair with his foot and gestured the aide away with a, "That door is to stay closed till I open it." He stood before the Swenian, legs apart, hand grasping wrist behind his back, balancing himself slowly, thoughtfully on the balls of his feet. Then, harshly, "Patrician, are you a loyal subject of the Emperor?" Barr, who had maintained an indifferent silence till then, wrinkled a noncommittal brow. "I have no cause to love imperial rule." "Which is a long way from saying that you would be a traitor."
"True. But the mere act of not being a traitor is also a long way from agreeing to be an active helper."
"Ordinarily also true. But to refuse your help at this point," said Rios deliberately, "will be considered treason and treated as such." Barr's eyebrows drew together. "Save your verbal cudgels for your subordinates. A simple statement of your needs and wants will suffice me here." Rios sat down and crossed his legs. "Barr, we had an earlier discussion, half a year ago."
"About your magicians?"
"Yes. You remember what I said I would do." Barr nodded. His arms rested limply in his lap.
"You were going to visit them in their haunts, and you've been away these 4 months. Did you find them?"
"Find them? That I did," cried Rios. His lips were stiff as he spoke. It seemed to require effort to refrain from grinding molars. "Patrician, they are not magicians. They are devils. It is as far from belief as the outer galaxies from here. Conceive it. It is a world the size of a handkerchief, of a fingernail, with resources so petty, power so minute, a population so microscopic as would never suffice the most backward worlds of the dusty prefects of the dark stars. Yet with that, a people so proud and ambitious as to dream quietly and methodically of galactic rule. Why, they are so sure of themselves that they do not even hurry. They move slowly, phlegmatically. They speak of necessary centuries. They swallow worlds at leisure, creep through systems with dawdling complacence. And they succeed. There is no one to stop them. They have built up a filthy trading community that curls its tentacles about the systems further than their toy ships dare reach. For parsecs, their traders, which is what their agents call themselves, penetrate." Duke Umbar interrupted the angry flow. "How much of this information is definite, and how much is simply fury?" The soldier caught his breath and grew calmer. "My fury does not blind me.
I tell you, I was in worlds nearer to Suenna than to the Foundation, where the Empire was a myth of the distance, and where traitors were living truths. We ourselves were mistaken for traitors. The Foundation itself told you they aimed at galactic dominion. Told me. Rios was violent again. It was not a matter of telling me. The officials said nothing. They spoke business exclusively, but I spoke to ordinary men. I absorbed the ideas of the common folk, their manifest destiny, their calm acceptance of a great future. It is a thing that can't be hidden, a universal optimism they don't even try to hide. The Suenian openly displayed a certain quiet satisfaction. You will notice that so far it would seem to bear out quite accurately my reconstruction of events from the paltry data on the subject that I have gathered. It is no doubt, replied Rios with vexed sarcasm, a tribute to your analytical powers. It is also a hearty and bumptious commentary on the growing danger to the domains of His Imperial Majesty. Barr shrugged his unconcern, and Rios leaned forward suddenly to seize the old man's shoulders and stare with curious gentleness into his eyes. He said, "Now, Patrician, none of that. I have no desire to be barbaric. For my part, the legacy of Suenian hostility to the Imperium is an odious burden, and one which I would do everything in my power to wipe out. But my province is the military, and interference in civil affairs is impossible. It would bring about my recall and ruin my usefulness at once. You see that? I know you see that. Between yourself and myself, then, let the atrocity of 40 years ago be repaid by your vengeance upon its author, and so forgotten. I need your help. I frankly admit it." There was a world of urgency in the young man's voice, but Dukem Barr's head shook gently and deliberately in a negative gesture. Rios said pleadingly, "You don't understand, Patrician, and I doubt my ability to make you. I can't argue on your ground. You're the scholar, not I, but this I can tell you. Whatever you think of the Empire, you will admit its great services. Its armed forces have committed isolated crimes, but in the main they have been a force for peace and civilization. It was the Imperial Navy that created the Pax Imperium that ruled over all the galaxy for thousands of years. Contrast the millennia of peace under the sun and spaceship of the Empire with the millennia of interstellar anarchy that preceded it. Consider the wars and devastations of those old days and tell me if, with all its faults, the Empire is not worth preserving. Consider," he drove on forcefully, "to what the outer fringe of the galaxy is reduced in these days of their breakaway and independence, and ask yourself if, for the sake of a petty revenge, you would reduce Suenna from its position as a province under the protection of a mighty navy to a barbarian world in a barbarian galaxy, all immersed in its fragmentary independence and its common degradation and misery. Is it so bad? So soon?" murmured the Suenian. "No," admitted Rios. "We would be safe ourselves, no doubt, were our lifetimes quadrupled. But it is for the Empire I fight. That, and a military tradition which is something for myself alone, and which I cannot transfer to you. It is a military tradition built on the Imperial institution which I serve." "You are getting mystical, and I always find it difficult to penetrate another person's mysticism." "No matter. You understand the danger of this Foundation. It was I who pointed out what you call the danger before ever you headed outward from Suenna.
Then you realize that it must be stopped in embryo, or perhaps not at all. You have known of this foundation before anyone had heard of it. You know more about it than anyone else in the Empire. You probably know how it might best be attacked, and you can probably forewarn me of its countermeasures. Come, let us be friends. Dukembar rose. He said flatly, "Such help as I could give you means nothing. So I will make you free of it in the face of your strenuous demand. I will be the judge of its meaning. No, I am serious. Not all the might of the Empire could avail to crush this pygmy world." "Why not?" Belrios's eyes glistened fiercely. "No, stay where you are. I'll tell you when you may leave. Why not? If you think I underestimate this enemy I have discovered, you are wrong." "Patrician," he spoke reluctantly, "I lost a ship on my return. I have no proof that it fell into the hands of the Foundation, but it has not been located since, and were it merely an accident, its dead hulk should certainly have been found along the route we took. It is not an important loss. Less than the tenth part of a flea bite, but it may mean that the Foundation has already opened hostilities. Such eagerness and such disregard for consequences might mean secret forces of which I know nothing. Can you help me, then, by answering a specific question? What is their military power?" "I haven't any notion." "Then explain yourself on your own terms. Why do you say the Empire cannot defeat this small enemy?" The Suenian seated himself once more and looked away from Rioz's fixed glare. He spoke heavily. "Because I have faith in the principles of psychohistory. It is a strange science. It reached mathematical maturity with one man, Harry Seldon, and died with him, for no man since has been capable of manipulating its intricacies. But in that short period it proved itself the most powerful instrument ever invented for the study of humanity. Without pretending to predict the actions of individual humans, it formulated definite laws capable of mathematical analysis and extrapolation to govern and predict the mass action of human groups. So, it was that psychohistory which Seldon and the group he worked with applied in full force to the establishment of the Foundation. The place, time, and conditions all conspire mathematically, and so, inevitably, to the development of a second galactic empire." Rioz's voice trembled with indignation. "You mean that this art of his predicts that I would attack the Foundation and lose such and such a battle for such and such a reason? You are trying to say that I am a silly robot following a predetermined course into destruction." "No," replied the old patrician sharply. "I have already said that the science had nothing to do with individual actions. It is the vaster background that has been foreseen." "Then we stand clasped tightly in the forcing hand of the goddess of historical necessity." "Of psycho-historical necessity," prompted Barr softly. "And if I exercise my prerogative of free will, if I choose to attack next year or not to attack at all, how pliable is the goddess? How resourceful?" Barr shrugged. "Attack now or never. With a single ship or all the force in the Empire, by military force or economic pressure, by candid declaration of war or by treacherous ambush. Do whatever you wish in your fullest exercise of free will.
you will still lose. Because of Harry Seldon's dead hand? Because of the dead hand of the mathematics of human behavior that can neither be stopped, swerved, nor delayed. The two faced each other in deadlock until the general stepped back. He said simply, "I'll take that challenge. It's a dead hand against a living will." Cleon II, commonly called the Great, the last strong emperor of the First Empire, he is important for the political and artistic renaissance that took place during his long reign. He is best known to romance, however, for his connection with Belle Rioz, and to the common man, he is simply Rioz's emperor. It is important not to allow events of the last year of his reign to overshadow 40 years of Encyclopedia Galactica.